It is on the move. We're waiting for that day. Wasn't expecting that. We're waiting for that day in Uruguay. My wife and I and our family serve in the country of Uruguay. All right, where do I point this thing back there? I'll turn it on. That would help. There we go. Now, which way? You gotta do a dance. You love this one too, right? So now try it. No? Oh, too far. There we go. Got it. There we are. You've seen these kids running around probably this morning. The one on the bottom has a little shorter hair right now. She found the scissors a few weeks ago. And she had her first haircut. So the little boy you see running around in a dress, that's our little girl. Anyway. But God is on the move. I love being a part of the Alliance. I love being a part of this family. I love coming and speaking in churches and hearing how you've been praying and hearing how you've been giving. And I'm so thankful for your prayers. You know, if we go back in the history of the Alliance and you go back to A.B. Simpson and you think about how he wanted to go. He felt God's call. And he wanted to go, and he was stopped from going. And they began to meet. He began to meet with like-minded believers. They would come together on Sunday afternoons. They would go to their local churches or wherever they would go, and they would come together on Sunday afternoon and pray together. And they would pray and cry out for the nations. And God began to call certain ones of them out, and they sent them out. And it wasn't too successful in the beginning from a human standpoint because a lot of them died. They didn't make it home from sickness, from fever, from whatever. But they kept praying and they kept gathering and they kept praying and they kept sending and they kept giving. And they would take offerings and people would, you know, in their day, give their iPods and their computers and their wristwatches and their whatever. You know, I mean, everything that was of value to them, everything that had monetary value, if they didn't have money, they would give those things because they were so impressed with the kingdom of God. And they knew that Jesus was coming back and wanted all men everywhere to have a chance to hear this good news. God began to make a way. And from those early days, we have come a long way. Right now in the Alliance, I'll come back to this one maybe, but right now in Alliance ministry, we have about 700 international workers overseas. From those little prayer meetings where someone was so disappointed and responded in love for Jesus. Out of that little prayer group, we have today over 700 international workers overseas. We have over 2,000 Alliance churches in the United States alone. There's over 500,000 worshipers in the United States. And those 700 workers are serving among 70 people, 70 international, 70 peoples around the world. All because of prayer and giving. The Alliance the missions of the Alliance is made possible through so much prayer and so much giving and through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are seeing things like what you just saw in the video in Kosovo. How exciting is that? And when the pastor talked about the Great Commission Fund, that's how we're funded. That's how money comes in, and that's how we're able to go. And I tell you what, we have seen so many other missionaries, and I don't talk badly about anybody else in missions. They're going, they're working hard, they're raising their funds, but I have seen the stress on them, and some of you have seen that. Maybe some of you have experienced it. And the financial stress that is upon these workers. And it's stressful enough when you're moving internationally with your family and you go into a new place and you begin a work and living in the stress of learning a language and culture and a whole new life. It's so stressful. And then to add that on top of, I don't know if I have enough money coming in to pay the rent. I don't know if I have enough money to... The Alliance has been... I'm so thankful. I say all that to say I'm so thankful for you guys, for our family. Because what we do wouldn't be possible without you giving sacrificially. And that's why it's called a faith promise. The pastor said that. You may not have the money, but you say, God, I want to seek you for how much I want, for how much you want me to give. And God may give you a number that's way beyond your means. You say, in faith, God, I hear this is what you're saying to me. This is what I want to give. By faith, I pledge this much. And you watch God work. What God reveals, he does. What he tells you he's going to do, he's going to do. And I'm so thankful for our family. I'm so thankful for what God's doing. God is on the move all over the world. I'm thankful for this morning, the worship. Thank you, Jennifer. That was very powerful. As I prayed for Uruguay up here, I just, my heart was broken. I go and I prayed for my brother just left Burkina Faso and they moved to Mali yesterday and they're transitioning. My brother is Toby Hall and his wife Kirsten. Maybe some of you know them. They just transitioned and they're settling into Mali now in a new field with the Alliance. So I was praying for Burkina, the country they left, and I noticed the flag over here, and I came and prayed for Uruguay. And as I approached Uruguay, my heart was just broken because I began to picture the faces of my friends. I began to picture people that I have talked with, that I've shared Jesus with, that as we're waiting for the days of what's happening in Kosovo, where people are coming and asking for Jesus, we're waiting for that day. We are dependent solely on the Holy Spirit's leading, and I love that, and we're there, and we're proclaiming the good news about Jesus. The way is pretty rough in Uruguay. If you were in Sunday school, you heard, but for those of you who weren't there, Uruguay is a country that in the capital city of Montevideo, about 2 million people in the capital city, 90% are of European descent. A lot of people came in the 1930s. A lot of Jewish people fled Europe into this area of the world. And after World War II, a lot of the people that lost World War II came, the Germans, the Italians, the Spaniards. The majority of Uruguayans are Spaniards and Italians descent. They came to Uruguay. They found a new home. They left religion behind. They left everything that divided them and destroyed them as a continent, as a society. They left it behind in the sense that they made it very unimportant. They said, we are not going to fight anymore over ideology, over belief. That destroys, that separates, that kills. And if you are exclusive in your faith, if you claim to be the only right way, you are dangerous. We saw what happened in Europe. And that was the message. And that's the mentality that the whole society lives in. So here we are, proclaiming an exclusive Jesus. But we're proclaiming a Jesus they've never heard. We're loving on people. We're loving on kids. We're loving on the elderly. We're loving on anyone that God brings to us. We're loving on them. And we've had people tell us, you're not like other Christians we know. Because in their minds, Christians are ignorant. Christians are uneducated. Christians are dumb. If you need a crutch, you know, go for religion. Go ahead. But us, we're intelligent. We're smart. We're self-made. We don't need that. So, we are in a very stony place because of God's promises. All God's people will see his salvation. Luke chapter 2, if you can see that, that's pretty small. But maybe you can look in your Bible. In Luke chapter 3, I got to get closer so I can read it. In Luke chapter 3, verses 2 to 6, it says, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into to all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all God's people, all people will see God's salvation. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come and to be with your people that have given sacrificially, that have prayed. I thank you for them. Father, this morning we need your touch. We don't need anything but your love this morning. We want to come in and we ask for a fresh outpouring of your love upon our hearts. Holy Spirit, it's through you that the Father's love is poured into our hearts. So I just ask for a giant funnel over each one of us. Holy Spirit, make that funnel with the end of it going right into our hearts. And we just ask, Father, that you would pour your love through the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. As I've read this passage time and time again over the past, since we heard this was the theme and we began to dig into this passage, it's just more and more come alive. And Jennifer hit on it this morning even. The prepare the way for the Lord, to make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill made low. We think about that, like what Jennifer talking about, in the world we see around us. We see the wilderness that we live in. We look around us and we see the rough places. We see what ISIS is doing. We see the darkness growing, it seems like. And we see all of these things happening in our world today where darkness just seems to be, the rough wilderness of spiritual darkness just seems to be everywhere. We turn on the news, we hear it, we see it. The worldviews that are changing so rapidly and all these things, and we have become... We just see so much wilderness, rough wilderness. And we say, God, please, straighten it out. But then I was turned and I thought about our own hearts. How many times have you been hurt? How many times have you been disappointed? How many times have you believed a lie? How many times do we have... live with strongholds in our lives? I think this is what Jesus came for. Jesus came to straighten out those places in your heart. He came to make the valleys, to pull the valleys up, to lift them up, those deep, dark places in your heart. He came to pull them up. Those places that we were thankful, maybe for the mountain peaks. I don't know. Like we're thankful for those times that we've had deliverance and we've had great times with the Lord. We're thankful for those times. And those come into it. And we, the rough places that are in our hearts, that we just live with day in and day out. We kind of run over. They're not deep, dark holes necessarily, but they're just rough. And the things we just choose to live with, the anger, the depression, or the whatever it is, we just kind of, as you're driving, if you've ever been on a washboard road and you're driving, it just shakes the whole car. The rough places that we just live with every day because it's not bad enough to fix maybe, or we don't take it too seriously. And we think this is why Jesus came. This was the call that John was proclaiming, the proclamation that God is the way maker. He has always made a way. You read the whole Bible, you see so many times where God has made a way. And he's made a way for you, for these places in your heart to be smoothed out. He's made room for the deep, dark things in your heart to be healed. He's made a way for the nations. He's made a way for our world. He's made a way. He is the great way maker. And John shows up in the wilderness proclaiming this message. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make way. It's almost like the red carpet is, he's rolling the red carpet out. The king is coming. Make way. I can go back to Psalm 24 where it says, lift up your heads, you gates, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Make way. It's a proclamation that we are doing also in Uruguay. In Uruguay, where the message has been received through glass, tinted glasses, and they can't see clearly who Jesus is, because all they've seen are the abuses of the church through Catholicism, or a health and wealth gospel that comes in and tries to take from them and abuses the poor. And they see that. And that's their view. That's their view of who Jesus is. That's their view of the church, solely based on the abuses that they've seen. And that's one of the reasons that why they have rejected all religion, so to say, and live in a state of atheism. The dominant religion in Uruguay, in Montevideo especially, is atheism, not Catholicism. They had enough of what happened in Europe. They had enough of all those things. And they've grown up, they've developed this society that says, we don't need that. That is trouble. And so here we are in this place where they are a world leader in suicide rate, where everybody has a personal counselor because instead of a family doctor, they have a personal psychologist that they go to. Every single person. Depression is rampant. Everyone. It's just this whole society that you just look at and it's so hopeless and so dark. And here we are. Among these crags and rocky ground and rough areas. And we say, God, what do you even do? I remember the first time, the first week, we dropped our oldest daughter off at school. When we got there, she was in, I think, first grade. And we got there, and we'd take her to drop her off, and we noticed when we'd pick her up, there'd be 200 parents, literally, in this little courtyard, picking up their kids. And I remember walking up that first week and just stopping, outside, looking in and just thinking, God, where do you even start? What do you even do? There's just so much hopelessness. What do you do? And God began to teach me to pray. And as I went up and engaged in conversation, he began to teach me to pray and ask him, Father, how do you want to show your love to this person right here? One at a time, one at a time, one at a time. And as I began to share God's love with people, doors would open. And as I prayed and just depended on the Holy Spirit, we began to see God open doors in conversation where people were curious about, why are you guys here? I've even prayed that prayer. God, how do you want to show your love? And the next thing out of that person's mouth was, have you ever thought about where the stars come from? The next words out of their mouth. And we ended up having a two-hour discussion about God the Creator. And I went and talked, that was with an older gentleman, and I went and I talked with his son afterwards, who's an atheist, or was an atheist, now he's an agnostic. And I went and talked to him, and I said, this is what I just talked about with your dad. And he's like, I'm 35 years old, and we've never talked about religion in our home once. And you just had a two-hour discussion with my dad? I don't even know what he believes. Wow. And we've seen God open doors as we have been willing proclaimers, proclaiming who Jesus is, proclaiming who this God is that loves us. And what God began to teach me is that something that's obvious in Scripture. Jesus tells us God, he said, my Father is always working. He's drawing all men to himself. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that clicked in me. It's like, wait a minute. If God's not calling us to do something for him, he's calling us to do something with him. He's already working. He's working in your heart. He's working in my heart. He's working in all of our hearts. He's working in every single person out there. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That those two words that are seek are two different words in the Hebrew. The first one is like, you're seeking. Every single person is seeking. The second one is an intense seeking. You will find me when you seek me in this intensity, this singleness of mine with all your heart. So we pray, Father, you're drawing these people to yourself. We want to see what you're seeing. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. That's been our prayer. Father, what are you doing? Give me kingdom eyes to see how you're building your kingdom right here. Because I want to get in line with what you're doing. I don't want to come up with strategy and try to figure out how we can do this and how we can reach them and how we can do this and how all these types of things and pray for 5 minutes and say, God bless it, and go out and try to do it. No, I mean, planning and all kinds of, I mean, yeah, it has its place, but what if we just came together and said, oh, Father, what are you doing? Show us what you're doing and let him talk to us through his Holy Spirit. Let him reveal things and just do what the Father's doing. It just takes a lot of pressure off and a lot of me having to come up with what to do off, because he's already doing it and doing a way better job. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not God the Father. I'm not part. There isn't four parts of the Trinity. I'm not the fourth part. But God is working. He calls us alongside of him to come do it with him. That's what we get to do. He has given you identity. He has made you children of the Most High God. He's adopted you into his family. He wants to heal you. He wants to straighten out the parts in your life. He wants to reveal things to you so he can heal them. If you'll just open your hearts and say, yes, Father, heal me. And as you're vulnerable with the Father and community, and other people can be vulnerable. And then you can begin to see, wow, God, you're working. And then you invite others in. And they see. It says unbelievers will see. I love that verse in passage, the verse in 1 Corinthians where it's talking about the gifts, but where unbelievers will walk by and they'll see God is there. And God is drawing all people to himself. And as we pray, I love what we did this morning, praying for the nations. Sometimes it can be kind of like, oh yeah, we're going to pray for the nations. Okay, let's go pray for this one. And it just becomes routine. But we, like Jennifer said, it's effectual. What your prayers that you pray here, you're loosing and you're binding and you're blessing and you're asking affects what happens in each of these places. God says, come do it with me. Let me open your eyes. I have the strategy. I got the plan. I'm working. I don't want any of these people to perish, but all to come to repentance. But quit trying to do it on your own and come and just spend time with me. Let me heal you first. Let me set you free first. Let me deliver you first so you can walk in freedom and enjoy me. And then you can take that love and share it with others. And you can see clearly what I'm doing. There's a purpose. The proclamation. There's a purpose. We are way makers with him. I mean, all through history, I mean, as I said already, and if you read through the Old Testament and then the New Testament and your own personal stories and the stories of the people we read in history, like A.B. Simpson and all those guys, we see that God has been building a road and using his people who are willing to become waymakers with him. He's building a road. He's making a way and using his people who are willing to become waymakers with him. Think about it. If you are his child, you've already received, right? Someone was a way maker. God was a way maker, and someone partnered with God. And unless God, I mean, God does bring people to himself supernaturally through dreams and visions and those kinds of things as well. But most of us, someone led us to Jesus. Someone was a way maker, and you were a way receiver, and you received. And that's wonderful. And you're not uncommon. I mean, God has been leading and directing people for years and years since the beginning. God has been making a way for all people. His heart is for the nations. I mean, from Genesis, I mean, the Genesis 3, after the fall, the promise of a way to crush Satan. Genesis 6 through 9, a way for Noah and all of humanity to survive. Genesis 12, a way for all people to be blessed through Abram. Genesis 21, a way for his promise to be fulfilled for a 90-year-old woman to conceive and have a son. Genesis 24, a way for Abraham's servant to go straight to the household where he found Isaac a wife. I mean, time you can go through, and I mean, this is just a couple, but you can go through, and there's so many times you just highlighted a way maker. How did God make a way? How did God make a way? And you can do that in your own life. How did God make a way? How did God make a way? And we can sing his praises and glorify him, because God is the great way maker. What does it mean to be a way maker? People who are way makers are people who are transformed. They've been transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit, and their eyes have been opened to the kingdom. And they can see clearly what's important and what's not. They're not perfect people. They don't always get it right. They're not always going to say what you want them to say. They're not always going to please you. And just like you're not going to do any of those 100% of the time for anybody else. But people who are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, people that have learned to say, yes, God, your way is right. When they mess up, they confess their sin because he's faithful and just to forgive them. And they always, they have a heart that wants to say yes to God. We can see God's wisdom, his infinite wisdom. And we can receive that wisdom through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do and see, we can see and do what's really important. People who love rather than fear. Boy, our world news, you turn on any kind of news station, what does the news thrive on but fear? Be afraid. Be afraid. There's a hurricane. There's a storm. There's ISIS. There's this. There's that. Don't go into public. Guard your children. Lock your doors. Be afraid. Be afraid. Look at the elections. It's all uncertain. Be afraid. Oh, my goodness. And yet we see other commercials that tell us we need to love everybody and be generous with everybody and accept everybody. I mean, those two things don't go hand in hand. You can't fear everybody and love everybody because love and fear don't mix like water and oil. But perfect love casts out all fear. And when we receive that love of the Father, we can go and we can love anybody. And I love there's other Lions videos that talk about that. One from what's her name? What? Joanna Chai, thank you. My hearing, I'm like my mom, I can't hear. My mom and dad are here, by the way. It's so good to have them here. But yeah, I mean, the video where they're talking about the terrorism and like choosing to love, I will love. No matter what, I will love. People who proclaim, we talked about that a little bit already. But by God's grace and the working of his Spirit, we can be transformed to live, demonstrate, and proclaim the deeper reality, having wisdom to see what God sees and aligning ourselves with him and become waymakers with him. What greater purpose in your life could you choose? We all want to be wise. We all want our kids to be wise. We want wisdom. We want to do things that are important. What greater thing to give our lives to than to be coming alongside our Father, proclaiming his message and becoming a waymaker and receiving purpose, ultimate purpose for our lives. I love you. Come down to the promise at the end of that passage. All people will see God's salvation. Think in Isaiah 40, all people will see God's glory. And I began to study that and look at the difference. Why did Isaiah say glory and why does Luke say salvation? And I began to look at that. And look into that. What's the difference here? I don't know that I found a good answer, but I began to study about. Let me just talk about God's like defining God's glory. And I read, I think it was John Piper, and he was talking about God's glory, and he said, "You know, what is God's glory? Try to define God's glory. How do you define it? It's like it's like the word beauty." You see it and it's beautiful. But I mean, how do you put it into words? He's like, defining the word, the glory of God is like that. And he said, but I'm going to try. He said, the best way I can describe it is God's holiness made manifest. And when we begin to see God's holiness, we begin to see his glory. So God's glory is his holiness made manifest. You think, wow, salvation was God's holiness, his righteousness made manifest through his Son to us. He makes you a new person. And so when he looks at you, all he sees is Jesus. God's glory made manifest in you and who he's made you to be through Jesus' death and resurrection, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the regeneration, the being reborn. I mean, that's pretty awesome. All God's people, all people will see God's salvation. See, God's heart is for all peoples everywhere. Last year's theme of Missions Conference was that. God's heart for all peoples. And there's so many, everywhere in Scripture talks about God's heart for his peoples, his promise. And now we have his promise that all will see his salvation. None is unreachable. No group is left out. All means all will see his salvation. As we learn our true identity and learn to receive our Father's love, learn to receive his healing, be set free from the bondages that hold us back, as an onion, this layer after layer coming out and allowing God access to our hearts, as we receive his love and learn who we truly are, we are transformed and become way makers through the power of the Holy Spirit and dependence on him and on this promise. God, what God says, he does. And you and I have the opportunity to be waymakers with him. He invites us along. He says, I'm working. Come on. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The command in that word, you guys know this probably, the command is not go. The command is make. It's as you're going. Because as we align ourselves with God, we see his heart. His heart for all nations everywhere. For every single person he created. That's his heart. I mean, you're going to go. And I love that here we are in Atlanta, next to the most ethnically diverse square mile, I think in the world, over here in Clarkston. The most ethnically diverse square mile in the whole world. And the nations are coming to us, but it's a drop in the bucket. Because where they're coming from are multitudes and multitudes. And it's awesome the opportunity we get. That the nations, that God is on the move and stirring the nations, and they're and so many are going to Europe and here, and we have this opportunity to go and reach the nations. I mean, that's wonderful. But I pray that as you do that here, that your heart will ache for their brothers and sisters back home. For everyone, there's probably millions over there. Praise God. That as we get in alignment with him, the overlooked are seen. And I'm going to finish with this story. On every Wednesday afternoon in Uruguay, I meet with a group of older ladies. They're in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. And they are the most fun group of old ladies you've ever been around. They're a hoot. And I could tell you stories of funny things they've done, funny things they've said. They make language mistakes and say bad words, and they don't even know it. And I could tell you stories, and I don't have time. But they're so much. It literally is my favorite hour of the week. I love going with these older ladies, and I said we have a good time every time. And as I've gotten to know these older ladies, and it's all in English, and we begin to talk, and I've gotten to know them a lot. And there was one lady that came every week. She was the oldest of them all. And I didn't know how old she was. I do now. I didn't know how old she was when she first started coming. She couldn't hear. She couldn't see. I don't know how she got there because she'd walk like 10 blocks to get there. And they would tell me, these ladies, the other ladies would tell me, this lady travels the world. She travels, she flies over to Buenos Aires, and she flies to Europe and the Middle East and to the United States and she Canada. She travels all over the world. I'm like, how does she, how she can't read this? She can't even see to read the sign to which flight you're getting on, you know? Anyway, but this older lady, she was so sweet. She'd come in, she was all primped and dressed and had her make, she was well made up every day and well, you know, well dressed and very, a woman of class, you could tell, in her day especially. And this lady's name was Perla. And I found out this lady, Perla, was our neighbor. She lived about two blocks up from us. And so every day, I mean, we'd get there, I'd offer her a ride. Can I take you home? I didn't want to say, when you're old and feeble, I can give you a ride home. No, she would not accept a ride home. She's very independent. I like to exercise. Is it good for me? Well, it's good for you. Okay, all right. But if you ever need a ride, I feel free to call me. I'd love to take you home or give you a ride or bring you here, whatever. Anyway, she always refused. One day, my wife went with me to this English club, and we're sitting there, and we're talking, and we had to go pick up our girls from school after the club. And I said, Perla, would you like for me to give you a ride home? And I said, we have to go by and pick up our kids first at school, and then we'll go home. She's like, oh, I don't ever get a chance to hang around kids. That'd be great. Found the key, kids. So we take her down. She gets in our van with us, and we start going to go and pick up the kids. And we're heading back to the house. We call whoever who's watching our other two kids, say, you're going to be a little longer. Anyway, we drive up, and we're going to her house, and she points out. She says, that's my church, an old Catholic church. And in Uruguay, you need to understand, you don't talk about religion. No one talks about religion. And so she said that. Oh, I thought she was Jewish, because all the other ladies in the group are Jewish. I just assumed she was as well. And she said, I said, oh, I thought you were Jewish. No, I'm not Jew. I'm the only one that's not Jewish. They're all Jews. I'm Catholic. Oh, okay, that's great. Wow, okay, it's interesting. So we got to her house, dropping her off. She said, why don't you come up with me and have tea with me? Okay, that's great. So we get out, we park the car, we go upstairs with her. We're sitting in her living room, and there's a piano sitting in the corner of the room. And Timbrell's a great musician. I'm not. And Timbrell says, oh, you have a piano. Can I play your piano for you? So Timbrell goes over and starts playing these old hymns and just playing and creating, you know, a great mood there. And our girls were there, and they were doing so good. They were having probably stale crackers and soda. I don't know what they had. But anyway, but they're eating, being really good. And I'm there. I'm talking with Perla, the most in-depth conversation, the first real personal one-on-one conversation I've had with her. She begins to tell me things. She says, you know, I'm ready to die. I said, what do you mean? She said, I'm a burden to my family. They can't move on with their lives. I'm a weight to society. I just want to die. And I said, Perla, are you ready to die? And she said, yeah, I just told you I'm ready to die. I said, no. I said, do you know what's going to happen to you when you die? And she said, I don't know. I've been going to that Catholic church here every week here the last little bit here. I hope I go to heaven. I don't know what's going to happen. And I said, Perla, would you like to know from God's word what's going to happen when you die and to know that you will be in heaven? And she said, yes. I had to pick my jaw up because no one says yes to those kind of questions in Uruguay. And I start sharing with her about Jesus and how he came and died and rose again. And everyone who puts their faith in him will be saved. And I explained a very simple gospel to her, and I asked her, I said, Berla, would you like to receive Jesus? And she said, yes, I would, which shocked me again because no one says yes. And she prayed a very simple prayer and received Jesus as her Savior. And I began to meet with her. And I was in shock after that, but I began to meet with her like every week or so, and we began to study the Bible together. And it was just so sweet. I'd pray with her, and she was learning how to pray. And I would spend some time with her, try to every week, every other week or so, and we'd come together. And then about 6 months later, I got really sick. I got strep throat, the worst I've ever had in my life. Couldn't leave the house. It was terrible. And then I called her about a week and a half into that, and her daughter-in-law answered the phone, and she says, Perla's died. And I just sat there and I wept and I said, praise God. Because you were and are a way maker for us. And I found out Perla was 92 years old. It's never too late. There's no one that's unreachable. I want to say thank you for being a part of that story, because you gave and you've prayed. So thank you for being a part of the family. I want to encourage you to keep giving. There's so many more that are overlooked, that aren't seen by our world. And they're here among you, the children, the elderly, the sick, whoever. And they're all over the world. And we belong to a great family that sends people out as waymakers, coming alongside of what God's already doing and joining him. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing right here in this place. Thank you for your faithfulness. We give glory to you this morning as we see more and more of your holiness. And we give you praise. You're so good to us. Thank you so much. Thank you for what you've done through the Alliance, through the vision of A.B. Simpson. Thank you what you've done throughout all of history, as you've called people to yourself, as you're always working. And Father, help us to join you in prayer so that more like stories like the way we just saw in Kosovo in the video would happen in Uruguay. We need prayer warriors. So I just ask for more prayer warriors, Father, who will battle with us. We long to see your kingdom come. So we just declare your kingdom over Uruguay. We declare your kingdom over Atlanta. And we long to see, Father, your heart clearer. I pray your blessing over this church, Father, that you would give them eyes, kingdom eyes, to see what you're doing and join with you in what you're doing and to receive your love, knowing that they're your child, knowing that you're very pleased with them and you're proud of them. And you have healing, deeper healing for them. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.